chapter 4. James chapter 4 has a theme to it. And the theme is how to live with both faith and humility. Hallelujah to God. We've heard a lot about faith. Came through a faith movement myself. Lived through that whole thing. But James gives us a glimpse of something here that's extremely important. Not only does our faith have to be in Christ, it has to be a Christ-like faith. It has to be a humble faith. Amen? The Word of God tells us, if I get this thing to work, in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, I'm going to turn to in a second, the title I want to use for those three chapters, those three verses, is how to pray without pride. Hallelujah. If you'll turn again to 4, 1 through 3, you have to excuse me, my head's kind of messed up. I got this sinus cold thing going on. That may be good for some people. It means I won't preach as long today. Hallelujah. Or I will take longer because I can't get my thoughts together. It all depends how you pray for me with humility. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, I've chosen to start with the New Living Translation. Please understand as I read this that most likely James was addressing a specific situation that was occurring amongst the readers of this letter. He wasn't just picking things out of the air. These letters, whether you read the Pauline epistles, whether you read James, John, these were all written to specific people about specific problems. So chances are, when James penned this chapter with the other ones, this was a problem amongst the dispersia, the Christians who had been run out of Jerusalem. He goes on and says in chapter 4, we've already been studying about faith and so forth. Gets to chapter 4, he says, what is causing the quarrels, wars, and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? I want to look at this thing. He's talking about outside or exterior wars that are being caused by an interior war. Okay, just keep that dichotomy in your mind. Verse 2, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want, because you don't ask God for it. Even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. The word pleasure got cut off there. I'm sorry about that. Pleasure is a very important word. It shouldn't be cut off there. James begins this particular portion of his letter with teaching regarding of a conflict. You know, in my day job, we use the word conflicted sometimes. And I know myself, I get conflicted sometimes. I have something I want to do, but then again, I know I really shouldn't do. Something I want, but if I do this, I could get it. But if I don't do this, I might have to wait a while. And we get these conflicts going on. James is talking about a really strong apparent conflict amongst the people that he's writing this letter to. And he asks us a question. He says, ask them a question. From whence? Where comes these wars and fighting among you? Somehow it had gotten back to James. Somehow he had learned that the people who had been run out of town, so to speak, because they believed in Jesus, were now fighting amongst themselves. There's nothing more, I think, that breaks a pastor's heart than people quarreling amongst themselves. It's a terrible thing to see church people arguing over stuff that really doesn't matter. Fighting over things that are not eternal, just quarreling amongst themselves. James is no different here, though I believe that James is more than a pastor. I believe he's an apostle. But he says there's a problem here. You guys are fighting. What's up with that? And I think almost any pastor at any one time or another can look at his church and say, what's up? Why are you guys fighting out there? Why are the deacons fighting amongst the elders? And the elders are fighting amongst themselves. And you're all fighting against me. And the people are fighting against. And you look at the church and you say, my goodness, what's going on? I think, Brother Dave, that's what's going on in James's life. So where is this coming from? What's going on with you guys? The war here, the word war is actually a military term. It means exactly what it says. It's a battle. It's a war. Just the same as going on in Afghanistan or Iraq before that. That was not prophetic. Iraq before that. How many here was able to at least acknowledge the fact that November 11th this week was Veterans Day? I was really happy to be in the schools, and most of the schools made a big deal of it this year. And I was happy about that. Really, really happy. Had an embarrassing moment. I was in a music class with some kids, and they played Taps. It's the first time I've heard Taps since we buried my father. And I stood there, the big oaf that I am, crying. And all the kids go, "Mr. George, are you okay?" "I'm cool. I'm cool." From where comes this battle, these fightings, striving and strife and quarrelings? People were arguing back and forth, battling one another. This is not metaphor. This is the real thing. There was a major problem. He says, where's it all coming from? Both of these words denote interpersonal conflicts. And I didn't have room to put on the screen. Please look that this is a plural word. Just as it is up here. Fightings, wars. So it's not just one little thing going on. So there's a multitude of problems here. It's amazing. It probably amazes you too, but I'm the one with the microphone, so I'm going to say it. It amazes me the things that humans can find to fight about. It amazes me how the things we can find to disagree about and start arguments about. Both of these words are interpersonal. James answers his own question. A good teacher will do that. A good teacher will pose a question and then go ahead and answer it. Some of his answers you may not like. He goes on to teach us that we're involved, and I'm going to prove this here as we go on. We are involved in conflicts because of our own desires for pleasures or lusts that are in conflict within our very self. We're fighting with one another, and many times, if not all, we're fighting with ourselves. We're wrestling with that good man, bad man, old nature, new nature, Adam versus Jesus. It's always some kind of a fight going on. There's a teaching out there that says that once you're born again, that old nature goes away. The only problem I got with that, it doesn't work. You know how to figure out if a teaching is of God or not, right? Does it work? Hallelujah. If you're still, like many people, including myself, 30 years later, I'm still battling certain things. I wrestle back and forth. I feel like Paul, the things I don't want to do, I end up doing the things I... Yeah. There's a wrestling match going on here. And James says, we fight with one another. Please take some wisdom from this. We just talked about wisdom last week. Here's a piece of it. If we're fighting one with another, excuse me, let me back up. If we're fighting within ourselves, we may end up conflicting one with another. Hallelujah. We need to look at this thing within ourselves. If we are at war inwardly, James says we are, it's natural. What's ever on the inside shows on the outside. You know, you may not be able to relate to this, men and women, but I have an anger problem from time to time. Now, you all know, sitting out there and don't have one, you praise me, I know you're perfect already. But here's the thing about my anger. I see you smiling back there. The thing about anger is you can keep it to yourself most of the time. And you can walk around with this big old plastic smile on, I'm doing just fine, until somebody crosses you one time too many. You get to that day, Brother Dave, you've got one nerve left, and that person in front of you is getting on it. Amen? You know what the definition of stress is, don't you? Meeting someone who desperately needs to be choked to death and not being able to do it. I cleaned that one up from the sign I read. Hallelujah. We have these wars on the inside, and we kind of keep it to ourselves until somebody presses that magic button, says the wrong thing, stops in front of you, gives you a hard time, looks at you the wrong way, and the wife's going, yeah, I know about that one. Sometimes, Dave, I'm going to pick on you. Sometimes, men, our wives have got to do is say, what do you want for dinner? What do you mean? Obviously, we're not responding to the dinner question, okay? But we got this war going on inside of us. So we begin to fight and battle on the outside as well. Now, please understand that this book was written over 2,000 years ago. Does it sound relevant to you yet? Hallelujah. The word used here, conflicts or evil desires, is actually the word lust in King James Version. You may recognize this word. We're going to use it again. Hedone. Amen. Anybody ever heard of the word hedonism? Hedonism is the worshiping of pleasure. It comes from this word, pleasure. Pleasure is used to gratify man's natural or sinful desires. James says, you're in conflict because of this thing inside of you that goes to your base nature. You want and can't have. You try to get and it's elusive. Amen. So we begin to lean to the natural man to get the things that have not come to us yet. There's nothing wrong with asking God for things. Can I clear that up real quick? It's okay to ask God to take care of you. God wants to. I got a scripture for that later. But when it doesn't come and we turn ourselves over and begin to use our own natural talent, should I say, that's where we can get ourselves in trouble. In case you don't remember, you can ask your wife or your husband when you go home. There was a time before you knew Jesus, you were pretty manipulating or controlling or whatever. The tendency is to go back to whatever it is you used to be. To go back to what it is that Jesus delivered you from. Amen? Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Again, New Living Translation. I'm going to use several today. The seeds that fell among the thorns. Now, just as Jesus talking about the seeds that are going forth and what happens to them. So the seeds that fall among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out or choked out in some translations. I put that in there because I get a mental picture. Crowded out is one thing. Crowded out is too many people. Choked out, someone got their hands around my throat. Okay? Choked out by the cares and riches and, here's this word, pleasures, hedone. The hedone of this life, and so they never grow into maturity. I think there's a warning here. You take it for what it's worth. If we're so busy fighting and battling and trying to get our own way, the chances are we may stunt our growth. I'll let you all think about that. I'm not going to go any further. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Once we too. Now, let me just say something here. I still sin, but I am not a sinner. I still do things that are wicked. I am not a wicked person. See, once we come to Jesus, I believe this is an important point. Once we come to Jesus, we're not what we used to be. Do we still do it? Well, yeah, there's a process, and we've got to be delivered, we've got to be healed. Hallelujah. So when Paul writes to Titus, he said, we used to be that way. We used to be foolish and disobedient. Does that mean Paul had come to complete perfection? No. But that's no longer what he wants to be. It's no longer what he's striving to be. So we were misled and became slaves to many or various, depends on your translation, lusts and pleasures. Hedone. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. Now, some people hate words like that. Why did God use them? Hello. For all you purists, look it up in King James. It uses the same word. So there are some people who don't want to listen to the new translations. They want to use the one that Jesus used. You know, King James. Hallelujah. I live down south. They preach that down there. Glory to Jesus. You're listening to me on the internet. Sorry about that. The whole idea of giving ourselves over to that inward man, that natural man, will lead to hating one another. Now you say, is that such a big thing? Well, hang in there with me. I'm going to show you that it is. There are certain manifestations of this war within. You know what a manifestation is, right? It's something you can see. It's something that you look at and you can recognize it. Manifestations of this inward war. Now, I got a note here for us. What we're going to look at in James is a description of the paradox of sin. Now, you say, why are you throwing the big words around? Hang in there. It all comes together. In sinful state, we're always seeking and never finding. In our sinful state, we're always desiring, but never being fulfilled. I want you to think about that statement for a moment here. In our sinful state, getting it our own way, doing it our own way, leaning to worldly wisdom, doing things the way we're told to do by the world system around us. Sin in us is always seeking, but never being able to find it. Always looking, always looking, always looking. Whether it be spiritual things or whether it be just being a good family and being a good person with your family and trying to do it on our own will not bring anything. Desiring, that's a strong word there. I'm not going to talk about it too much, but desiring is the word covet, wanting, yearning. Never being fulfilled. Hallelujah. I know just a little bit about substance abuse. I won't tell you how I know. But I will tell this. There was a time in my life where I just couldn't get enough substance to abuse. Because I kept wanting more and more and more. That's part of the addiction thing. We can become addicted to other things besides substances, besides drugs and alcohol and so forth. But it's the same thing. Always yearning, never quite having enough. I think that's one of the questions that's posed in what we're teaching. How it's later on. How much is enough? How much stuff is enough? When do we quit hoarding to ourselves and begin to bless others? When have we got enough and we can do something more with our possessions and our talents? Manifestation of the war. One, you lust but have not. Well, that's a more biblical way of saying what I just did. You want things. You're trying to get them, but you can't find them. That word there, different word now. There's a lot of different words that are used in the Bible here. The word there was epithumeo, to long for, to set one's heart or desire upon something or someone. It can be used either way, and I'm going to give you an example, to covet. If you want something or somebody so bad, you'll do anything to get it. Do those words sound familiar? I got to have that boy. Got to have that girl. Got to have that car. I'll do anything. Be careful, because you might do anything to get what it is you're wanting. Hallelujah. In a good sense, Jesus used the word in Luke 22 when he said unto them, with desire, I have desire. That's the same word. Epithumeo. I have desired to eat this Passover you before I suffer. This is not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with wanting something. I need to say that. You know, I grew up in a time where the faith movement said you got to have it all. And the movement I was in said you can't be saved unless you got nothing. Neither one of them is true. Amen? Hallelujah. It's a good thing. Here's a bad thing. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus talking about the sin of lust. He says, but I say to you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust, there's the word, epithumeo, after her hath committed adultery with her already in the heart. Now, I don't want to confuse people, but I really, really, really want to say this. I say it so many times. Go out and buy a concordance. Hallelujah. Go on down to, you got concordances down to Footprints? Go on down to Footprints and buy a concordance. It's a good book. I don't know if you can get one for every translation, but you can get them translation specific. I know for the NIV and okay, so you can do that. Go on down and talk to Sister Sharon down there. They can use the business. It's hard out there on the street. Amen? This word is used twice in the same scripture here. Same word. For the desires, that's the good one. That's epithumeo. It's a good one. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit, I got them backwards, I'm sorry, are opposed to the flesh. Having a desire in our flesh that's not godly, it's a bad thing. Having a desire in our spirit that's a godly thing is good. I'm going to get it all, I typed that wrong. The problem is that we often desire something, but quite often, we don't get it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands how many times you've just plain wanted something. And it doesn't matter what it is. It may not have been a bad thing. I just showed you the word doesn't mean bad all the time. But we want something so much, we're willing to lay aside anything, all things, in order to get it. Hallelujah. In the most negative sense, those who covet something or somebody don't get it without taking some sort of initiative. Hallelujah. Many of us can find many initiatives. We can find ways to get what the good Lord has decided to withhold or not to give yet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say this on a personal note. There are times that God has had to withhold things from me because I was not ready to receive them. And there are still things He's holding back because I'm still not ready to receive certain things. But, you know, He just doesn't take it away and say, nah. He says, let me help you with that, son. Let me help you be trustworthy. Let me help you be godly. Let me help you be whatever it is that may be preventing me from receiving the goodness of God. We lust and have not. Second is, will you murder and covet and cannot obtain? These are strong, strong words. I wouldn't kill anybody. I'm going to say something here that this will keep me talking for the rest of the week. I have never yet, in my knowledge, met a human being that, given the right circumstances, could not take a life. Ooh, you hear that silence? You just don't know what you're capable of. You don't know when you're threatened, or your children are threatened, or you're angry. You don't know what can roll up inside of you. So we look at these people. How could they be so mad that they would want to murder? Think about it real hard for a few moments. Hallelujah. James comes directly to the point. James don't cut no slack to nobody. As I've read history, this dude here was supposed to be the blood brother of Jesus Christ. He sure does talk like Him and sure is direct like Him. So if they weren't born from the same womb, they spent time in the same house, there's some learned behavior there. James learned a few things from hanging out with Jesus as a boy. James come directly to the point by saying the human solution to sin of covetousness is killing. It's murder. Hallelujah. We're going to look at this for a second. This is a hard one to swallow. Hard one to swallow. Hallelujah. That word covet, zelo. That's right. You picked up on it. He's a word guy. Zelo is a word that we use. It's not Zulu. That's a whole different thing. Zulu is a whole military thing. Zelo is the word we use for zealot. Or zealous. Amen? It's envy. Or to be moved by envy. To be so jealous, you would move out of character, so to speak, and do something so dastardly just because you had to have it. I talked to a man years ago. He was an ex-convict. He spent 30 years in jail for murder. And I couldn't help myself. I had to ask him. Why? Is that he had a situation. He found himself in a situation with a gun in his hand. Said, and he pointed the gun at a man and said, and something overtook me. And when I finally snapped out of it, the gun was empty and the man was dead. Now, I don't know if he's telling me the truth. Some people here in law enforcement and so forth. But I have asked myself a question. What was it that overtook him? Was it a demon? Could be. Was it blind rage? Was it that carnal nature, that base thing that overtook him? I don't know. He was the nicest guy I'd ever met. Seriously, a nice, nice man. Hallelujah. You've got to be careful with the covetous thing. Murder is the ultimate. That's the ultimate, worst, the result of covetousness. Hallelujah. Turn with me in the book of James, chapter 3, backwards from where we started. We looked at this not long ago. James chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. I will read this time from the King James Version, I think. Yep. Therewith, now please understand, what I'm going to read here is a progression. Two scriptures, they get progressively worse. Our actions get progressively worse, okay? James says, as we read earlier, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings, and here's a word, cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Now, I don't think that James is teaching here, forgive me if you believe this, it's okay. I don't think James is teaching here that just because you want something, don't get it, you're going to take a gun and shoot somebody. Not at first. He said it starts out something like this, cursing people. Using words that are unkind, quantifying or qualifying people and putting them in people groups and gender groups and racial groups and this kind of people does that and that kind of people do the other. James says you got to be careful. I mentioned before about being in Guatemala. The night before we went to Guatemala, we stayed in Belize. You've heard this story before, so I'll make it fast. In the land of Belize is a very poverty-stricken country. Now you say, oh, I've seen that on TV. What you've seen was the coastal part of Belize that had been built up with all the wonderful places you can go there and spend your money. You get about 2 miles, less than a mile from the airport of Belize, you get abject poverty. The first night we were there, we stayed in a compound. It was actually a school, and we stayed there. And we were right on the Balmapan River. And you know, all you guys in particular, you know the sound travels with water. Well, I laid there and I kept hearing this crackling sound all night long, this popping sound. I didn't know. I thought maybe it was firecrackers or whatever. And I asked my host the next morning, what was that noise? Well, just up the up the river from Belmopan River is the city of Belmopan, which is the capital of Belize. And he said, what you heard was gunshots. Well, that made me feel real comfortable. I said, well, why? Because even though it was, the places I've seen were filled with poverty, they were peaceful people. He says, what has happened? There's only two cities in Belize that have this thing called a television. See, the people of Belize, the poor people, they don't know they're poor. No one's told them. But the people in the capital cities who were getting their TV piped in from Mexico and the United States, they begin to see all the stuff that we have, all the stuff you could buy, all the stuff, and they wanted the stuff. They couldn't make any money to buy stuff. Everyone was poor, but they found ways to get guns. That's part of the culture. And they turned the guns on their equally poor neighbors and stole from them to get more money to buy stuff. Hallelujah. I'm going to take something from your teaching. I think it's in tonight's teaching. I think it's in Chile. A company went down and opened a factory in Chile. And the people worked real good. And then 2 weeks after there, they got their first paycheck. Come Monday morning, no one showed up for work. Next 4 or 5 days, no one showed up for work. And finally, went out to find out why. And they went to the villages. The people said, well, we got our paycheck. We got everything we need. We don't have to work anymore. And for almost 2 to 3 months, that if I remember correctly, you can correct me with this later, but I for a couple of months, no one would come to work until somebody, had to be an American, got the idea, says, let's send them a catalog. Every one of the people in the village got a catalog. You know, you ever remember as a kid getting a Sears catalog? Hallelujah. All the wish book in the world you wanted right there. And a strange thing happened. But they went back to work and never missed a day's work since then because they had to have the money to buy the stuff in the catalog. Hallelujah. People in this country I'm referring to, Belize, were killing equally poor people to get what little bit of change they had to add their money together to get more stuff. Then we look at this and say, no, that couldn't happen. It happens. We can want stuff so much. Covetousness is a bad thing. Now, you say, where are you going with this? I'm going to prayer with this. 1 John 3:15, the Amplified Version, anyone who hates, remember I said before, hate and murder? We're going to tie it together. Anyone who hates, abominates, and detests his brother in Christ is at heart a murderer. You don't have to take it from me. Pick up the book and read it. Hallelujah. I don't know if I could put them together like that. God does. There are scriptures, look it up. If you hate your brothers, it's the same as murder. Hallelujah. We just read how we can use the mouth that God gave us to bless him to curse others. Could we curse a person so much that we hate them, which is equal to murder? You say, isn't that kind of radical? No, that's Christian. This is a brand of Christianity you may not hear. When your friend comes from New York, I don't know, I hope she's ready for this. Hallelujah. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding and persevering within him. Hallelujah. That's another message I'm not going to preach today. In these scriptures, we see the futility I called it a paradox a moment ago. There's futility in sin. Sin promises much, delivers nada, nothing. Even murder cannot fulfill the lust of the flesh. Cannot fill. I had other pictures I could use there, and I thought about the kids and said, nah, that was close enough. Hallelujah. You fight in war. We're going down our manifestation. You fight and war. Now, this is not a repetition. This is a continuation of the first verse. Okay? All. Someone say all. Now, after you've said, I'm going to tell you what you said all to. All fighting and war and lust are coveting or covetousness, as you want to put it, and murder. Now, whether you believe that or not, please believe the last part of it. It brings more conflict. If I only had this, I'd be okay. If I only had that, I'd be okay. No, because then you'd be busy protecting it. Then you'd be busy keeping others from using it. But part of what we're doing here is giving over everything to God. I like the same story you like, Brother David. A man got a new car. I love that story. That flipped me over. Hallelujah. Man got a new car, and he just went through the study we're going through now, and part of the study is giving everything to God. He got a new car, and he gave the new car to God. A few days later, someone hit him in the side of the car and smashed the whole side of the car in. Hallelujah. His remark is, God, I don't know why you want a dent in your car, but you sure got a big one. Now, if he was hanging on to and coveting and what, I don't think he could have said that, brother. I don't think he could have done that. It would bring more conflict. The more you have sometimes brings more conflict. The wars and conflicts are interpersonal, but not only, they can be social. Now, I'm not going to preach a political message. I'm going to do my best not to. But I want you to think about the rewards that I'm familiar with anyway. Hallelujah. Why were they really fought? Please, nothing political here. People say, for democracy. Really? Or was it because of equal lateral trade? You know who taught me that? My history teacher who fought in World War II. Said the reason for World War II was fought was for, what did I just say? Unilateral. There it is. Unilateral trade. And he says, the reason we said other things is, can you imagine being in a foxhole and the CEO said, up and over for unilateral trade. He said, that don't work. So you learn to hate the enemy. Hallelujah. I got a question for you to go home with. Some of you are just going to like this. Some won't. 50-50 chance here. Talk about Middle East peace all you want. But do you have a clue why there's a war in the Middle East? It has nothing to do with Muslim. Okay. Do you know what's under the Middle East? All the oil, or most of the oil, in the world. Hallelujah. I shouldn't have said that, but I did. Now we got to live with it. Or I do. Social wars can be caused by wanting something that's not yours. Hallelujah. I got to say something here. Again, it's not a popular thing, but I'm sick and tired of people trying to take part of Jerusalem. And part. God said that's yours to the Jews. I got a theory, only a theory. When it's all done and all the shouting's done and all the missiles and bombs, I think that Israel's going to look just like it did in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. God said your borders will be from here to here and from here to here, and they just keep trying to chop it up. I don't think that's going to happen. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Without lordship and obedience, the residual sin of our own nature will surface and conflict will reoccur. Excuse me. Get it out. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride leads to conflict, but those who take advice are wise. Pride. What's that got to do with anything? Where there are conflicts and fightings. I this is not meant to represent any person living or... Yeah, there you go. Any resemblance is purely coincidental. Where there are conflicts and fightings, y'all can't see this on the internet. I got a picture up here on the wall of a couple of people fighting. The sin of pride is always present. Consider a couple things. Consider this. I don't say you have to believe it, but consider it in your thinking. It's pride that makes us envy, murder, and fight, and war. You may not believe that. You may not agree with that. Okay, but consider it. Consider that pride is at the root of all of this. Consider this, that pride is to the life of the flesh what humility is to the life of the spirit. Just consider it in your thought process. Consider this. Pride is the very foundation of the lifestyle that displeases God. Hallelujah. I just thrown out there for your consideration. Hallelujah. I'm not going to preach the 10 suggestions like the one preacher we know. Hallelujah. I want you to consider those three things. How about a fourth thing? Pride always. I wasn't going to put the word always in there, but I said, no, I'm going to. Pride always brings contention. Now, why am I getting into this thing about fightings and pride? Where are we going with this? Well, let's talk about the obvious. I've been known to be accused of having a keen sense or well-developed keen sense of the obvious. Some things are obvious. Some things are so obvious that we don't get them. Our society majors in making the simple things complicated. Okay? That includes the church. Sorry about that, church. It can be. This is so obvious, it's embarrassing because it's embarrassingly simple. Okay, here it comes. Hang on. Instead of fighting, warring, and killing, why don't we ask God? You have not because you ask not. Hello. Can I tell you the biggest problem with our prayer life? The biggest problem with yours and my prayer life is right here. We don't pray. Hello. I've had people come to me, brother, and say, I wouldn't pray for myself. Well, I hope you got lots of friends because somebody needs to be praying for y'all. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. Nothing wrong with it. Now, if you're only praying for yourself, you probably got a problem there. Amen? We need to pray for ourselves. Jesus, the disciples, comes, Lord, teach us to pray. In there, he taught them to pray for their daily needs. By the way, if you're struggling with prayer, go to the Lord's Prayer. Don't polypare it, but use it as an outline. I use Scripture as an outline for prayer. The Lord's Prayer, 23rd Psalm. They're great outlines for prayer. Take each verse. Let the Holy Spirit lead you in praying for those things. Hallelujah. You have not because you ask not. Oh, hallelujah. It's embarrassingly simple. God doesn't answer my prayer. Have you prayed one? Have you asked Him? Have you talked to Him? A foundational truth. Two of them. We are no longer the source of our success. I started to separate that, and I forgot to want to make a separate slide out of it. We're not no longer the source of our own success. Jesus wants to be the Lord. Jesus wants to be the source of our success. Quite simply put, for most people, if our own success was our own problem, we would be in a mess. Most of us don't have the ability, the resources, the intellect. We don't have enough to be successful. Jesus wants to be the Lord. Jesus wants to be successful. Now, success, I ain't going to preach this today, may have to be redefined for y'all, but Jesus wants to reach out. Jesus wants to touch your life. Jesus wants us to ask Him. It is His desire to provide for us. Matthew 7, don't bargain with God. If you haven't looked up BibleGateway.com yet, please do. That's where I get. I look it up in King James and I just start flipping through. The Message says, don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. Can it get any simpler than that? But let's go on. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your child asks for bread, do you trick him with sawdust? If he asks for a fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? As bad as you are, wow, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. So don't you think God, who conceived you in love, would be even better? Oh, can we think that way for a moment? Think of your child. Think of that little baby. Little helpless one. They come, oh, mama, daddy, they want, but we take care of it. In most cases, there's always sin. My little granddaughter comes to me now. Come here. It's automatic. They want something. You meet their need. If we can do that, and we're wicked, everyone in here, okay? I'm not taking back what I said before, but live it up to our own nature, okay? With our own human nature, we take care of things. How much more so God? How is God going to say, oh, there's George, he's crying again. I ain't got time for him. Let me go watch TV. Hallelujah. It's not going to happen. James, again, 16 and 17 from the Message. So my very dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Even desirable, I threw the word good in there. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There's nothing deceitful in God. Nothing two-faced and nothing fickle. You may not know those words. Two-faced means being one thing to one person and another to another. Fickle means easily changed, easily changing your opinion. God's not that way. We need to ask God. Turn and tell your neighbor. Say, you need to ask God. Tell you need to ask God. We're almost done, I promise. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 from the New Living Translation says, and the same God, this is Paul, who takes care of me, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Y'all can probably quote King James back to me on that one. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Oh my God, we learned that early in our lives, early in our Christianity. God is our supply. And then we act like he's not. Hallelujah. Psalms 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. New American Standard, if you know what that means, New American Standard Bible. The Lord gives grace and glory. The bold print is my idea. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Hallelujah. You don't have to con God out of a blessing. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to trick him. Jesus looked at the people and said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants us to have success. Hallelujah. So, with all that said, Pastor, why doesn't God answer my prayer, pray tell? I'm going to try to pray tell. How about, question, got to put the question mark on. How about our motives? What's our reason for prayer? What's our reason for, I'm not going to try to tell you. I'm going to ask you to ask yourself. If you're praying for something that's not coming through, is there a motive problem there? I don't know. Check it out. Second thing, sin. Sin, by definition, is simply missing the mark. Now, I've given you those two definitions. Now, let me give you a statement. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. James asks and answers questions all in the same teaching. It says, you have not because you ask not. Then he goes on and says, you ask. Some people are praying, and you don't get it. Because you're asking for the wrong reasons. And miss means missing the mark. That you may waste it or spend it, depending on the translation, on your own pleasures. Amiss. Anybody here speak Spanish? They tell me. The word in Greek here is kakos. They tell me in Spanish there's a very similar word. It's spelled K-A-K-A-S. You hear that silence? You hear the giggling? Y'all can't hear this on the internet. I'm dead serious. There is a word in Spanish. You know what it means? It's what comes out the other end of a horse after it's eaten. You ask, the word kekos is sick or deceased. I spelt that wrong. It says disease. I had the two words. That's deceased back up there. I first looked at the translation. I thought it said diseased. And I typed in and I looked at it again and said, wait a minute, let me adjust the glasses. Deceased. The expected result of a snake bite, a poisonous viper. Evil. Think about that. Paint a word picture and hang on to it. To spend or to consume on your own lust, there's our word again. Hedone. Hedonism. Worshipping of pleasure. Now, got that all together? Here's our summary. Our lusts and desires, remember the translations, definitions, for pleasure are not acceptable motives for prayer. James says, you war because you want and don't have. You don't have because you don't ask. And some of you ask and still don't get it because there's something wrong here. Maybe it's motives. In contrast, First John chapter 5 tells us to pray according to whose will? Whose his? It's capitalized for a reason. God's will. I'm going to read it to you. Again, from the Message. My purpose in writing is simply this. That you who believe in God's Son will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion. Good words right there. And how bold and free we then become in His presence, freely asking according to His will, sure that He's listening. And if we're confident, that He's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours. Wow! That is a powerful, positive statement. If we're asking according to what He wants, we know He's listening, and if He's listening, He's providing. Remember last week we used the word Jehovah Jireh? And we all learned that little song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And we've been taught that Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. That's only part of it. It means God sees and provides. Hallelujah. The focus of Christian living and our motive for prayer are to be the same. His will. Do you remember someone saying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done? Amen. God has called us to forsake doing our own thing and seek to do the will of God. I said seek. Remember last week we said, you need wisdom? Ask of God. Hallelujah. Where are we going to find out what God's will is? Who are we going to ask? There you go. Only then will we be fulfilled, and then will God answer our prayers. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I've been waiting for months to use that picture. The baby Jesus and the cross all in the same picture. God's gift. The birth and the death and the resurrection. Hallelujah. James says we can actually pray with humility. We can pray without pride. And he goes on to teach you we can pray in humility. We can have our prayers answered. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Hallelujah. Father, I praise you today. I thank you, Lord God, that through the substitutionary death of your Son Jesus, the veil was rent in the temple in Jerusalem, but the veil that separated us from you was also rent. We can now approach you. We can come in prayer. We can talk. We can ask. We can seek. Father, may we take a few moments each day to check out our motives. Take a few moments each day to deal with the sin issues in our lives. May we come as the priest of old, cleansed, washed, and ready to come into the presence of God. Hallelujah. Father, may we check our motives against your word. May we check our lives to see if there's any sin. And then take that to you for cleansing, for forgiveness, for deliverance. And then may we ask boldly according to your will. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask right now that everyone sitting under the sound of my voice in this building and on the internet, I pray that we would come to you with our needs. We would no longer fight in war. We would no longer argue in battle. We would no longer do these things of the flesh. But rather, we would come to you in the Spirit and receive from you the things we are meant to have. Our needs, our wants, our everyday bread. Father, in Jesus' name, may we check our hearts daily. May we speak to you regularly. May we receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Shall we stand to our feet? Perfect timing. My throat has just shot. Just stopped.